Good morning. I invite you to turn to Psalm 107. Encourage you to keep your Bible open. I'll refer to this psalm throughout the message. I'm going to just read a few of the verses to get us into this wonderful psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I pray Your blessings upon Your word this morning. Teach us to be thankful, for You are indeed good. Your loving kindness endures forever. May this church always give thanks unto You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, this coming Thursday is our annual Thanksgiving holiday. This is a special day that we have set aside to be sure that we give thanks unto the Lord. Will you be thankful this Thanksgiving? Will it truly be a special day of Thanksgiving? Or will your focus be more on food, family, friends, the football game, finding deer in the woods, or whatever else you may do this holiday? Also, to be honest, sometimes we don't feel like thanking the Lord. Perhaps we've been going through great difficulty, whether it's a sickness or a job loss or some other loss or trial in our lives, and we don't really feel all that thankful. But yet, should we focus on our losses, or should we focus on God and His goodness to us? Should we not also remember that even in the trials of life, God is at work and He can use these trials in our lives? How many times has God brought us through a difficulty? And we should certainly be thankful to the Lord for that. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. In everything we are to give thanks. God can work all situations for our good. And so will you be thankful this week, or will you be complaining this week? Well, Psalm 107 is a wonderful psalm of thanksgiving. As you know, the Psalms were the song book of the Hebrews. They would sing these psalms with instrumental music and public worship, and I imagine also in their own personal times with the Lord. And you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 also says that we are to be thankful, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will that we be thankful. If you want to be in God's will, you need to develop a thankful heart. And not just once a year, but every day and in every situation. Here in Psalm 107, we read a call to give thanks to God. We read some reasons why we should give thanks to God. And then we read of four examples, testimonies, illustrations of how God was good to certain people, and they are called upon to give thanks unto the Lord. So let's see, first of all, this morning from our text, that we should heed the appeal to give thanks to the Lord. Notice how this psalm begins in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. He gives this opening call to give thanks to the Lord. And then he again gives four illustrations of people who certainly ought to be thankful to the Lord for what the Lord has done for them. And after each of these four illustrations, we have a refrain that is repeated four times in verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I can imagine that as this psalm was sung, perhaps a choir would sing the refrain each of the four times. And the fact that these words are repeated four times in a refrain, that indicates that it is really important. This is the dominant theme of this psalm, that men would give thanks unto the Lord. And as we see in verse 8, he again calls upon all people to give thanks to the Lord. We ought to desire not only that we give thanks, but that other people give thanks to the Lord as well. In verse 2, we have another call to give thanks to the Lord. There it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, I used to misinterpret that to mean that the redeemed of the Lord should say about the fact that they've been redeemed. But actually, I believe it points back to verse 1, that what was said in verse 1, the redeemed should say, oh, let us give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. So we have that call to give thanks to the Lord. Another call to give thanks to the Lord is found in verse 22, where he says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. One way we can sacrifice to the Lord, according to the Word of God, is by offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In fact, Hebrews 13:15 says, let him therefore offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Yes, you don't have to wait until you come to the temple to offer a sacrifice. You can give the sacrifice of thanksgiving at any time and in every situation, the psalmist says. And so how often do we give thanks to the Lord? You know, every meal is an opportunity to give thanks to the Lord. I thank the Lord at least three times a day because that's how often I eat a meal. But we should also thank the Lord for other blessings He bestows upon us. We should thank God every day in every situation, even in the trials and the difficulties of life. You know, sometimes people are not thoughtful and motivated to give thanks to the Lord. So the psalmist not only calls upon people to give thanks to the Lord, but he also gives reasons why we should be thankful. We should reflect upon these reasons and we will have a more thankful heart, won't we? Three attributes or works of God that we should be thankful for that it's found in this psalm. The first is this, thanking the Lord for His goodness. Verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. Likewise, in verse 9, he says that God fills the hungry soul with goodness, the very same word. Listen, as Jesus Himself affirmed, God is good. And He's good all the time, isn't He? God is a good God. And we see examples of His goodness in verses 35 to 38, how He abundantly and well provides for us. And I tell you what, I'm sure in this room we can all testify of how good God has been to us and how well He has provided for us and how this Thanksgiving we will enjoy a bounty. In fact, today, I understand you'll have a bountiful meal to enjoy today. Thank God for His goodness. And secondly, thank God for His loving kindness. Six times the psalmist praises and thanks God for the loving kindness of the Lord. It is the Hebrew word hesed. It's a very important word in the Old Testament. In verse 1, it is translated mercy in my Bible. In verses 8, 15, 21, and 31, it is translated goodness. In verse 43, it is same word is translated loving kindness. So what is the meaning of this important word? Well, I learned something in my study this week as I did a word search. I found that this word hesed is associated 13 times with a covenant. When you enter into a covenant, you vow to be faithful and steadfast in fulfilling your covenant relationship with this person. We have entered into a covenant with God. God has entered into covenant with us, and we can count on Him to be steadfast in His love and devotion to us and to help us in our times of need. That is the meaning of the word loving kindness or steadfast love that we see here. And notice in verse 1 that God's steadfast love, His loving kindness endures forever. You will never exhaust the steadfast love of the Lord. It endures forever. I'm sorry my wife couldn't be with us. She's not feeling well this morning. But she has spent 66 days in the hospital this year. 14 days in rehab. And every one of those 66 days, every one of those 14 days in the rehab, I was with her most of the time, the whole day and night. I was there to be her advocate. I was there to be her primary caregiver. And you know why I was there for her? Because on May the 27th, 1978, I stood at the altar and we entered into a covenant that we would love and cherish in sickness and in health. My steadfast love is a reflection of the steadfast love of God that is based on a covenant relationship. And if you have believed in Jesus and entered into that new covenant made possible by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then you can be thankful that God will always be there for you and His love will endure forever. Amen. That's something to be thankful for. We should also be thankful for the redeeming work of the Lord. Again, in verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." This concept of redemption is first found in the Mosaic Law. God made a provision that if you lost your property because of economic hard times, if you were even sold into slavery to pay your debt, a kinsman redeemer had an obligation, if he was financially able, to step in and redeem and restore your property. Redeem and restore your freedom. He became your kinsman redeemer. We read about that in the book of Ruth. Remember the book of Ruth? How Naomi and Ruth, they lost everything. But old Boaz comes along and he marries her and restores all the property of her first husband. And her father-in-law was all restored by the Redeemer. Oh, listen. We lost everything when Adam and Eve sinned. Paradise was lost. Eternal life was lost. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and Jesus Christ shed His blood that He might redeem us. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. Oh yes, we had lost paradise, we had lost the eternal life, but it was all restored by the precious blood of Jesus. Revelation 2:7 says, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Paradise was lost through Adam, but will be restored through Jesus. Eternal life. Made possible by our Redeemer, we should thank God for the fact that He has redeemed our life from the pit and from hell and will give us eternal life in heaven with Him. So we see Psalm 107 giving a call to give thanks to the Lord. We see the reasons why we should give thanks to the Lord. And last of all, this morning, we hear of the testimonies of the redeemed in this psalm. Four examples of how God stepped in and redeemed people from their hardship and losses. Yes, we should give thanks when the Lord saves us from difficulties and trials in our lives. And the first example that is cited is the returning exiles. In Deuteronomy 28, God warned that if the Israelites rebelled against Him, He would scatter them to the nations. But if they turned back to God and repented, then God would bring the exiles back and restore them to their land. And so the first story of redemption in Psalm 107 is the story of returning exiles. In verses 2 to 3 it says, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. In verse 47 of the previous psalm, we read about how the Jews came home after the Babylonian exile. However, the journey home was not easy. In verse 4, it says, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. If you're familiar with Israel, you know that to the south there is wilderness. To the east there is desert and wilderness. And you got to pass through these areas to come back. And the problem is that as they were turning, some of them lost their way. They wandered in that wilderness. Their food began to run out. Their water supply began to run out. There were no streams in the desert. They became exhausted. They became famished. They became hungry. Gloom and despair began to settle into their souls. They could not help themselves, and they could not find anyone in the wilderness to help them. Finally, they became desperate enough to turn to God in prayer. And verse 6 says, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. When they reached their extremity, then they called upon the Lord to guide them and to lead them home. And you know, how many times is it that we do not pray until we get to our wit's end? Until we get to where we find no help in ourselves, no help in others. Well, let's turn to God. Let's see if He will help us. Why is it we wait until the last resort before we call upon the Lord to save us? Well, you know what? God is so good that even if you wait until you get to bottom, He'll still hear your prayer. He'll still save you. And so, note the deliverance that follows prayer. In verse 7, we see that the Lord became their guide. He led them out of the wilderness by the right way and led them to a city as a dwelling place. And in verse 9, it says, He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. God answered their prayer. He led them to a city where they could find food and water and shelter and rest. Yes, has there been a time in your life where you've been lost? When you've run out of food? When you didn't know where to go? And God somehow helped you find your way home. I remember when I was a boy, about 11, 12 years old, I and my friends were out playing, and we had gone deep into the woods, and we got lost. We could not find our way home. We began to get really concerned as the darkness was beginning to set in. And I don't remember how it happened, but somehow we found our way home. We should have thanked God for that. And I can't remember if we did or not, but I know our parents were happy when we finally showed up. You may not have ever been lost physically, but you've been lost spiritually, haven't you? Lost, separated from God. But if you're among the redeemed, if you're among the saved, God found you like a good shepherd. And He's going to bring you home to eternal heaven someday, where you'll never be lost and never wander again. Oh, listen, if you're still lost in sin, let me point you who can show you the way home and who is the way, and that's Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Come to Jesus and He'll bring you home. And so we read about the lost wanderers whom God brought home. Give thanks to the Lord. But secondly, we read about the prisoners, those who were fettered in dark prisons. And according to verse 11, they were in prison because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. They were in prison because of their own fault, because of their own sin. And the Jews who ended up in Babylonian prisons, the Jews that ended up in other kinds of prisons, they also were there because they had rebelled against the Lord. And I tell you what, prisons are far worse then than they are now. I mean, I wouldn't want to go to a modern prison, but man, they were really bad back in those days. Oftentimes you were bound in chains in dark, cold, damp prisons. And when you weren't in prison, you were out on a chain gang with forced labor, as we read about in verse 12. So here were these people in prison, in chains, in forced labor. And then verse 13 says they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And once again, though they didn't deserve to be helped, though they were in prison because of their own sin and fault, we read in verse 14, and he saved them out of their distress. No chain is too strong for God. He set them free and brought them home. I wonder how many Jews that were in those prison camps in World War II thought of Psalm 107 and prayed Psalm 107. Well, some were delivered from those prison camps. I wonder how many of the hostages that were recently carried off by Hamas, who are still in prison this very moment, how many of them will remember Psalm 107 and pray Psalm 107 for deliverance? Oh yes, God delivers the prisoners. And how much more if He delivers those who are in prison due to their own sin, will He deliver prisoners who are there for no fault of their own? Remember in the book of Acts how God delivered Peter from prison. Remember how Paul and Silas were delivered from prison. I had a deacon in my previous church who fought in World War II. His aircraft was shot down and he was captured and put in a German prison camp. And God delivered him from prison, and he went on to become a fine Christian and a deacon in our church. Yes, God delivers the prisoners. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Then he gives the third example of God's goodness and redemption of foolish, afflicted sinners. We read in verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. And that word means brought low. How so? Well, in verse 18, it says, their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. When people get very sick, they lose appetite. They don't care to eat. And as we die, part of the dying process is we don't want to eat. Here were people who became sick unto death, as it says there. The last of verse 20 talks about their destructions, literally their pit. Again, a description of the grave. Death was standing at the head of their bed, ready to take them into everlasting darkness. Yes, when we sin, we may suffer hardship. We may suffer imprisonment. We may suffer even sickness. Moses said in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Yes, every example given here is of people who brought suffering on themselves. And they learned the truth. Your sin will find you out. Paul Harvey told the story of a man who had escaped from the police. And they were tracking him down in the woods. And he had climbed up a tree and was hidden in the leaves. And as the search party came near, they were looking for him and could not find him. And then all of a sudden, his watch went off at the top of the hour. And they looked up and there he was. They found him. They captured him. Be sure your sin will find you out. But even though they were foolish, in verse 19, they wised up. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. And that's what we ought to do. When we find ourselves in trouble, Whether it's of our own making or just because we live in a fallen, sinful world, we ought to always be wise enough to call upon the Lord in prayer. And in verse 20, it says, He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Listen, man is not healed by medicine alone, but by the Word of God. You know what this reminds me of? He sent His Word and healed them. Remember the centurion who sent messengers to Jesus? And talked about his servant that was sick unto death. And Jesus said, well, I'll come. He said, oh, no, Lord, you don't need to come. You just send the word. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. What faith? Faith based on the word of God. As we see here, God sent his word and healed him. And so the lesson is very clear. When you face hardship, sickness, whatever it is, call upon the Lord and remember he is good and he is steadfast in his love for you. And he will answer that prayer and deliver you. And when he does, be sure to give thanks to the Lord. Cheryl and I are so thankful that God has seen her through times when she didn't know whether she would even live to see her next birthday. Thankful to the Lord. And so God redeemed the wanderers. God redeemed the prisoners. God redeemed those who were sick unto death. And finally, the last example is God saving the sailors at sea. You know, back in those days, to be a sailor was dangerous business. When you got on that ship, you never knew when a storm would come up. You didn't have radar. You didn't have all this advanced technology that they have today. And winds could blow you away from shore and you would be lost and drowned and dead before long. Oh, it was difficult to be a sailor. And so what these sailors dreaded came to pass. Verse 25, he commands and raises the stormy wind which lifts up the waves of the sea. Oh, the Lord is an almighty God and he can command the storm to come. And as the storm comes, the waves begin to rise and the boat begins to rise on the crest of the waves. And it's as if the ship and the sailors are being lifted up to heavens and down they come again and up they come and waters begin to fill the boat. The waves dash against the side of the boat. They begin to fear for their lives knowing that soon they could go under. And so what do? When they reach their wits' end, once again, the last of verse 27, they reach their wits' end, and in desperation, verse 28 says, they pray to God in their distress. And when they pray to God, God manifests His goodness and loving kindness, and just as He ordered the storm to come, so He orders the storm to calm down. And the waves become calm, bowing before the mighty King of the universe. He brings them, as the text says, unto a desired haven. They reach the port of safety through the intervention of God. Oh, doesn't this remind you of what happened in the life of Jesus and His disciples? On at least two occasions, the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee and a mighty storm rose and they rowed and they tried to save themselves. But when they finally gave up on saving themselves, what did the disciples do? They went and woke up Jesus and said, Lord, save us. Or Jesus came walking on the water to save them. Oh, yes, the Lord answers prayer. The Lord intervenes. And note the reaction in verse 30. Then they were glad because they were quiet. Oh, they began to be so happy when the waves and the wind became calm and they knew they were saved. After all because of the goodness of God. But notice what verse 32 says. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. Not only was there a thanksgiving prayer on the boat, but they said, once you get to shore, you gather with God's people and you express your thanksgiving to God before the people of God publicly. Yes, the psalmist calls upon us that when God is good to us, when He redeems us and saves us from the distress we find ourselves in, that you be sure you come to church and you give thanks to God publicly. And might I suggest doing something else, that when you're at work, you tell your co-workers what God did for you and you offer thanks to God. Or in your small group, or in your family this Thanksgiving, have a little testimony time where you just can thank God for what He's done for you. Oh, if we had time, I'd love to each of you to stand up and give a little testimony as how God saved you from a very difficult time in your life. That time when I was swimming in the ocean and the riptides began to carry me out, and God saved me from what could have been death. Two or three times on the highways where God saved me from a major crash that could have happened but didn't happen. Yes, let us give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Look at verse 43. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Be wise and recognize God's goodness in your life and how He has saved you in many different ways, physically and spiritually, and give thanks to the Lord. Now, there may be someone here today who you're not saved yet. God hasn't saved your soul. You're still lost. Well, I call upon you to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus who died on the cross for your sins, and He will save you today. And He will restore paradise, and you will have a heavenly home and have eternal life. It's yours for the asking, if only you believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful psalm, reminding us to give thanks, for You are good. For You have saved and redeemed and intervened and rescued. We just thank You, Father, for Your goodness. Thank You that You're always there for us, that Your love is steadfast. Thank You, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.